your dear wife, and then you know more about you than I know about you.
Okay, well, this is my wife, Janice. Why don't you stand up, honey? And, yeah, and we've been married a few years, and I'm still married to my first wife, praise God. And we have 4 children and 12 grandchildren. Yeah, and we've been in ministry for 40 years. My wife and I pastored for 27 years, 24 in one place. We thought we'd be there forever, but God had a new assignment for us, and we subsequently came to Andrew Womack Ministries, and now I'm the director of Karis Bible College. We have 750 students there in Colorado, but then we have close to 7,000 students worldwide. And so I get the privilege of visiting different Bible colleges and in great churches like this, where God's doing significant things. Amen? And listen, Jesus is not coming back for a Bible college. He's coming back for a church. Yeah? And thank God for Bible colleges. They can equip us and so on. But we're to help and serve in the local church. And God's got a plan for each one of us. He's got a plan. He wants to use each one of us. Yes? So, you know, I have a word for someone who feels like that you're past your prime, okay? And you basically are looking in the past. When the pastor just read it, shared a word with us about God's, your future is bright, and he's got a great plan for you, but you're singing with Barbra Streisand the way we were. Or you're singing with the Beatles, yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. And so John, in the first chapter of Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's 90 years old. And at one time, he pastored the largest church in the world. He walked with Jesus. He could have started the t-shirt business that said, been there, done that, heard that, know that, right? But here he is in a place of limitation. The pastor gave a word about that where you feel limited. Don't limit God. But he's in a place of isolation. He's in a place of geographic limitation. And then he's in a place where he's 90 years old, where he's looking back and saying, you know, basically my best years are behind me. And someone here is feeling that way. And the Lord wants me to encourage you, even with John at 90 years old, with all of his experience, then with his present circumstances of limitation and isolation, Jesus came to him in that place and gave him a new assignment. Yes? So say this with me. God's got new assignments for me. I'm not washed up. I'm not going to limit God. Even in a place of isolation. Even in a place of limitation. God still has new assignments for me. Amen. Praise God. Someone needs to receive that. You come tell me later who God is speaking to. So, open your Bibles wherever you'd like. I'm going to be in James chapter 4, okay? But I want to tell you a funny first. Is that okay? This is called Pour It Into the River. So a minister was completing a sermon on temperance. With great emphasis, he said, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river. With even greater emphasis, he added, if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river. And caught up in the fervor of the moment, he shook his face heavenward and bellowed, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river. His sermon completed, he sat down to catch his breath. The worship leader stood and, trying hard to keep a straight face, announced, "For our closing hymn, let us sing number 365. Shall we all gather at the river?" That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. Praise God. Okay. Well, it's good to laugh. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to laugh. All right. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And it's great to be with you guys today. Look, just because I'm from out of town doesn't mean I'm an expert on anything. You have to check things out by the Word of God. And, you know, too many times we place greater value on people who are from out of town or whatever than our pastors. But do you know that when Jesus died, was buried, and then when he rose again, when he ascended on high, the Bible said he gave gifts to men. Is that true?
Yes.
Did he give gifts to us? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Did you know when Jesus gives us gifts, he gives us the best?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
And so, you know, he's given you his best in these pastors. And I want to encourage you, you know, to value their gift to you, because that's God's love to you. We sang about the love of God today, which, by the way, I thought that was powerful worship, man.
Amen.
That was awesome.
Amen.
You got a worship gift, sir. It was awesome. And it was really great. I mean, you know, what I love about people who lead us into worship is when you're really worshiping.
Yeah.
And you're not just engaged with your instrument or with your talent. It's not about performance. It's about worshiping God. And what's your name again?
Sam.
So you were leading us, man, in worship. In fact, the whole worship team was worshiping. If there's somebody, when I pastored, if there's somebody up on the stage that's not worshiping, I'm going to set them down. We'll sing an acapella if we need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Acapulco, whatever you want to. Yeah, right? So the bottom line is I want people up there that are up here that are worshiping. It's not about stage performance or anything like that. It's about people that are worshiping God. But God's given us the best gifts. When Jesus gives gifts, he gives us his best. And these are the absolute best pastors that you could have right now. Yeah? And I'm not puffing up their flesh. They didn't pay me to tell you this, okay? But look, Janice and I pastored for 27 years. And, you know, we would pour our heart out, give the Word of God, and we used to have Andrew Womack come to minister in our church, and he would minister, or some other guest would minister, and the people would say, "Man, I finally got it," you know, and it's like, wow. You know, really? I've been preaching this for I've been preaching this same message for all this time. And so what am I sharing with you? Sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. And I'm going to encourage you that God's given you guys the real deal here. He's given you wonderful gifts, and I want to encourage you to celebrate these pastors and not just tolerate them. Everybody say celebrate and thank God for your pastors and you know, encourage them, be a blessing to them and thank God for them. Send them an email every once in a while or just let them know how much you appreciate them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but he gives more what?
Grace.
He gives more grace. Everybody say, he gives more grace.
He gives more grace.
Okay, so Jesus is full of grace and truth, right? And when we're born again, we have Jesus fully in our spirit, man. True? Okay? But not automatically in our soul. In fact, when Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, he with me. That's Jesus who, when we're born again, he's joined. The Bible says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. So we know that he's joined to our spirit. And here it is, it's like he's on the outside looking in. No, he's not. He's on the inside looking in. He's in our spirit, knocking on the door of our soul and telling us, I've got more grace for you. How many of you, after you got saved and since you've come to this church, you've discovered there's some things that God has for you that you didn't appropriate before you knew that? How many of you would attest to that? Yeah, everybody's got their hand up. So, you know, you discovered there was more healing. There was more prosperity. There was more love. And now you've got it, but there was more wisdom. But we have to draw it up. And here, God's telling us that he gives more grace. Yeah? He gives more grace. I was at a restaurant one time, and a guy told me about this dessert. We don't eat dessert that much, but he was telling me about this, but then these friends of ours said, no, you don't need to have that key lime pie. You need to have this carrot cake, because this carrot cake at this restaurant is warm, it's moist, it's got this beautiful frosting on it, just drips, and it just melts in your mouth. And I thought, man, I got to try this. They brought out this big, you know, sheet of cake, and we split it up, and man, I'm telling you, it was like manna from heaven. It makes me hungry for lunch, right? But in other words, there was more on the menu. How many of you know there's more on God's menu that he has for you? We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. If you think you know it all, if you think you've experienced it all, you haven't. Man, God's got, we heard the word this morning. Don't limit God. He's got more for you. There's more grace for you. There's more faith for you. There's more for you to experience in his kingdom. And so, you know, how many of you've had a choice? If you would choose more grace, less grace. Which one would you go for? More grace. And so that's just what I want to share with you about today, some things that God's taught me about accessing more grace. And this is not like I'm not sharing with you principles or keys that are legalistic works, but they're things that the Lord's taught me to position myself to receive more of what God has for me. And how many of you want all that he has for you? When you get to heaven, you know, how many of you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? You don't want to hear, well, right? You want to fulfill all that God has for you. I mean, the children of Israel never possessed all of their land, all the promised land, but I want to possess all of mine. How about you? So here he said, there's more grace. So the first key to receiving more grace, and if you may want to write it down, or it's called just revelation knowledge of Jesus. 2 Peter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So grace multiplied to you, does that sound like more grace? Yeah. And how does it come? It comes by revelation knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Okay. Thank God for the revelation that your pastors have, that God's given them, and they share it with you each week. But listen, God's not satisfied with you living off of somebody else's revelation alone. Are you hearing me? God doesn't have any grandchildren. Right? No. I mean, you can learn things from others. You can be discipled by others. The Word of God is to pass down one generation to another. But God is not content with you living off of somebody else's revelation. He wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. There are things that He's got in this Word for you as you read it yourself. He wants to speak to you. He wants to download things to you. He's got things He wants to share with you. And, you know, many times what we want to do, even when we know the Word, and people have questions, we want to give them all the answers of everything we know. But I've had the Lord tell me sometimes, don't tell them that. Don't tell them everything you know. Just let them know that if they'll go seek me and they'll spend time with me, I'll download to them the answer. And when they get it from me, it's going to mean more than if you give it to them yourself. How many of you ever had someone come to you for answers and on the inside it's just empty? You're not feeling like you should give them, or maybe you give them a little bit, but then you want to go ahead and give them more. Anybody ever heard someone give a prophetic word and it started off good and then they went on and said more? Okay, too many times as brothers and sisters, we're counseling people and then we're trying to give them everything we know. And many times the Lord's just saying, look, give them a little bit and then tell them, I'm not going to give you the rest of this. You go and spend time and seek the Lord about this. And then when they hear from God, okay, that's going to mean a lot more to them. Do you understand you can hear from God? Do you understand His sheep hear His voice? How many of you are His sheep? Yeah, you can hear. Say, I can hear God. And most of the time, it's not a bold, audible voice. Most of the time, it's a still, small witness in your heart that's accompanied with peace. Or many times, see, I've wanted the Lord to speak to me. I needed to hear from Him. One time it was about almost a $2 million decision, a real estate decision for my church. And I had to hear God, and the elders said, we're trusting you, Pastor, to hear from God. And it was like, man, you know, I don't want to make a mistake, right? You got to hear God. Do we sell this property or not? We'd bought this property and it had gone up and escalated in value, but we bought it to build on, and now we were offered $1.8 million for this property we paid, $300,000 for. And so it was like, or $230,000 for. So it was like, you know, what do we do? You say, yeah, that'd be an easy decision. Well, no, because it's not mine. And I want to hear God. Do we build on it? Do we sell it? What do we do? And I'm seeking God, and I'm praying, and I'm getting counsel, and I'm hearing nothing. Zero. Nada. And then I watch on television, and Andrew's hearing God, and other people are hearing God. It's like they're hearing God every day. Anybody ever been there, you know? But I want to hear God, and I've got this major decision to make on Friday, and now it's Thursday, and I've been seeking the Lord, and I've been getting counsel, and I've been spending time in His Word, and I haven't heard. And so finally it was a Thursday, and I had to make the decision the next day, and the elder said, Pastor, you're the one that heard God to buy the land, so we're not sure what to do. We'll go with whatever you think is best. And so now they're putting the pressure on me. And I've got to hear God about a $1.8 million decision. And it's like, what do you do? And finally, you know, I'm crying out to God, oh God, I got to hear from you. And finally He said, son, have you been seeking me? And I said, Lord, you know I have. He said, have you spent extra time in my word so I could speak to you through through my word. And I said, Lord, you know I have. He said, have you gotten counsel about this? I said, Lord, you know I have. He said, have you heard anything from me? Of course, he's speaking to me right now. Have you heard anything from me? And I said, Lord, you know I haven't. And he said, son, when you seek me and spend time in my word and spend time in my presence and get your own thoughts aside and put them aside about what your flesh wants to do, and you're getting counsel and you don't hear me, it's because you don't have to. You already have my mind on the matter. Go with what you have strongest in your heart. Because didn't I say that if you would delight yourself in me, that I would plant my desires in your heart? He said, that's the primary way I'm going to lead you. I said, really? I can do that? And he said, yeah. He said, look, if you get a prophetic word or some strong thing in your heart, you know, then it's because there's difficult times ahead. He said, typically, I'm not going to lead you like that. I'm going to lead you by the desire that I have in my heart, that I put in your heart. And so I desired to sell that property. And we sold that property and we gave lots of money into missions and other things. And we paid off a youth building that we had. And then we bought some more property out on the highway. And when I left that church, we had over $2 million of property paid for. Praise God. And it's because, he said, I trust you. How many of you have wanted that? Come here, Sam. So here's what it's like. Here's what when we're wanting to hear God, no, grab the, we're wanting to hear God, what we're really saying is, you know, I can't hear you too well, Father. So I want you to take me by the hand because I'm a little bitty baby and I can't hear you too well. And I want you to tell me when to turn to the left and when to turn to the right and when to go straight because I know you're a little bitty baby. You can't hear me too well. And that's what we're asking God to do. When we have to have a prophetic word, a dream or a vision, or audible voice, or something else, and God's saying, no, Sam, listen. Okay, you seek me. Okay, you seek the Lord. You spend time in His Word. Get counsel about decisions. But if you don't hear a prophetic word, if you don't get something real strong, if you don't, if you don't get a dream or a vision or whatever, you don't need it. Why? Because what He's already planted in your heart is His will. Yeah, but I want His will. Yeah, but the desires He planted in your heart, wouldn't that be His will? Amen. Amen. So Sam can trust God and he's not a little bitty baby, right? Amen. Give him a good hand. So that was so liberating for me. So freeing for me that God trusted me to follow. You know, yeah, I had to circumcise and cut away the desires that were my flesh, okay? And then I said, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever. And I was seeking Him and getting counsel, and I didn't hear anything specific. Then He said, when you seek me like that and you don't hear a specific word, it's because you don't have to. You already have my mind on the matter. I've already planted my desires in your heart. You've already drilled down to find out that desire. What you desire is what I desire. Guys, that's powerful. That is so liberating. It was so freeing for me. That's 95% of the time. Pastor Johnny, that's how God leads me. It's about desire. What do I want to do? What do I not want to do? You know, yeah, but I want the will of God. Yeah, the will of God he planted in the form of a desire in your heart. And how many of you know the desires He plants there, they're His will? And that's how He leads us. And we're wanting God to take us by the hand. And look, I'm open to a prophetic word. I'm open to a vision or dream. But if I don't hear that, I don't need that. And if you don't hear that, you don't need that. Now, guys, I'm telling you, somebody needed to hear that today. Okay? Because God trusts you to hear from Him. And so the first key to accessing His grace is just you spend time with Him, and then He's going to download revelation to you, or you're going to discover that desire that's already there. What do you want to do? If you've been seeking God when He said, delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart, delighting yourself in me, that means you set aside your fleshly whims and desires, and you set that aside, and then you say, God, what do you want me to do? What's your will? And you get neutral about it, and then whatever desire is left, that's a desire He planted there. Go for it. What do you want to do? What's He put in your heart? Yeah, but I don't have enough money for that. Well, we're going to get into that point, but you know, the bottom line is if God put it in your heart, if you'll commit to that, then the money will come.
Amen.
Yeah? So that gets into point number two back at James 4. Look at that. It says He gives more grace, but God resists who? He resists the proud. He gives grace to who?
The humble.
The proud are those that you find out this desire that God put in your heart, a desire to go on the mission field, or a desire to start a ministry or start a business or go to school or whatever. And then you say, yeah, but Lord, you know I don't have enough money for that. Lord, you know I'm too young. Lord, you know I'm too old. Lord, you know I'm too male. You know I'm too female. Lord, you know people aren't going to, I don't have any experience that. Lord, you know. Poor God, when He asked you to do that and He put that desire in your heart, He didn't know, did He? Did He know? Okay. And then what are you you trying to inform Him? Look, guys, that's pride. No Lord or but Lord. That's pride. Humility is two things. Humility is agreeing with God and depending on God. Everybody say agreeing with God and depending on God. And so I just say, yes, Lord. He's never one time asked me to do anything that I felt fully adequate for. Not every one time. When I started, I was in business. When I started in the ministry, and I couldn't talk in front of people. Y'all are still wondering about that, but I couldn't talk because I was, you know, the reason why we're scared to talk in front of people is because we're too self-absorbed. We're thinking about ourselves instead of focusing on people that need what we have. And so, I wouldn't call me if I were you, okay? But He called me, and He anointed me, and then I started pastoring, and then I got comfortable pastoring, and then he had a new assignment for me, about 10 years ago, and He began to speak to me. He had a new assignment for me, and then I got connected with Andrew's ministry, and the door opened up, and I became the dean of education at Karis Bible College. And I didn't even know what a dean did. I had to lean into deaning grace. I didn't know what a dean did. And then they asked me to be the director of Karis Bible College. And you know, I knew a little bit about what a director did, but I didn't feel like I had the same gifts that my supervisor had that got promoted. And so it was like I had to lean into director grace. Listen, guys, when God calls you to a place, okay, He doesn't need you to argue with Him. If He's put a desire in your heart, the answer would be, yes, Lord. Everybody say, yes, Lord. Okay, what would Jesus have been born if if Mary would have said, be it not unto me according to your word. You know, she had a lot to risk. She was set. This guy, Joseph, had a business, and she had financial security. And now she's got to go tell him she's pregnant, right? That's probably not going to go too well. And so she could have said, be it not unto me. So what if she would have said that? Would Jesus have been born? Yes, but not through Mary. See, Jesus wants to be born in different measures and different ministries and different genres and different ways through you and me, but we've got to say, yes, Lord. Everybody say, yes, Lord. And then we've got to lean into his grace, because God's put things in our hearts. We just heard this word that your pastor read or shared this morning, that man, don't limit God. He wants to break out of the wineskin. He wants to pour in new wine. And we've got to say, yeah, what's the answer? Yes, Lord. Everybody say, yes, Lord. I receive that word. But see, it's going to come in the form of him challenging you to do things, to step out of your comfort zone. Yeah? You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. God, he's not calling you here just to get fat and sassy and flourishing. He wants you blessed, but he's got purpose for you. There are people he's called you to reach, and you've got to say, yes, Lord, I'll go there. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, all right, you call me to go down to sit in a coffee shop and minister to people, or at school, or in the library, or whatever. You know, the bottom line is God's got a plan for you. You've got to say yes to him. Someone here has got a million-pound grace on you. There's a business idea that someone has in this place. I believe there's more than one, but at least one. In fact, you've got multi-million pound grace on you. And God's going to give you a creative idea to be multimillionaire, okay? But it's not just for you. It's for the kingdom. Amen. And if you'll receive that, that's in line with the word that the pastor spoke, is that we've got to stop limiting God. If God can trust you with your money, he can trust you with people. Amen. And if you'll do what he tells you to do with it, if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Yes? And so I'm just speaking that over you. But humility is, God gives grace to the humble, guys. And that humility is simply agreeing with God. It's not arguing with God. Everybody, again, say, yes, Lord. And then you depend on him. I'm just leaning into your grace, Lord. And you need to know this. Okay, 17 times in the New Testament, it says grace and peace, grace and peace. Here, it says grace and peace in 2 Peter 1, 2. It said grace and peace be multiplied to you. Everybody say grace and peace. Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. What does that mean? Grace and peace go together. Like peas and carrots, like fish and chips, like Greg and Janice, like Johnny and Joe. Okay, what else does it mean? Whenever you've left peace, you've left grace. That's not a condemnation. That's a barometer. That whenever you leave peace, you've started relying on yourself rather than trusting God. That just helps you to see, you know, you want more grace? You've got to follow peace. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. And so God's got more grace for us. And then look at back at, and I have the airport in sight. We're about to land here shortly, okay? All right? But he said he gives more grace. Therefore, he said God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God. Everybody say submit to God. And resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So here's the point. This point, number three, is submission. A dirty 10-letter word. Now I understand you may have had authorities in your life in the past that have hurt you or abused you or neglected you or didn't promote you or whatever. But the bottom line is, guys, that that the remedy for that is not for you to rebel and get off in anarchy and rebellion. The remedy for that is to trust God. Okay? I'm sorry for people that have abused you or abused authority or whatever. But the bottom line is there's still a blessing through submission. In fact, guys, there's a measure of God's grace that you can't receive because, see, you're not beginning to submit to God until you're willing to submit to authorities that He's put in your life. And again, I'm not talking about you being a doormat, okay, to someone's abuse. But at the same time, neither is the opposite of that is rebellion and anarchy, and that's not going to bring you more grace. Here he said he gives more grace, and he submit to God. And the way you submit to God, you submit to people, authorities He's put in your life, right? And so when I come here, Pastor Johnny's an authority, so I'm going to submit to him. I'm going to come under him. I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to learn. Life is I draw on more of God's grace when I do that. Are you hearing me? Yeah. And there's people that say, well, I don't want to submit to anybody or anything. Well, I look at Luke chapter 1, and let me just give you a clear example of how this works. And look, you haven't really begun to submit to somebody and someone and it's an authority until you're willing. Actually, it's Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, 51 and 52. You haven't begun to submit to someone in authority until you're willing. Everybody say willing. Until you're willing to do what someone in authority is asking you to do that you don't want to do. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about, well, I'm called to preach, or I'm called to lead worship, pastor. I'm called to do this. I'm called to do that. Yeah, but what you're really called to do is to come under authority, and how you treat people who are in authority over you is exactly how you'll be treated when you get there. Right? And so, but you're called. You're called to be a missionary. You're called to be an evangelist, whatever. And so the pastor, you come to the pastor and tell him that. He said, well, what I want you to do is I want you to do the first, second, third, and fourth John cleaning the toilet ministry. That's what I want you to do. Okay, guys, listen to me. The way up, there's promotion grace. There's more promotion grace when you learn to serve. When you come under authority, you come and be a blessing. Come here, pastors, if y'all would both come, okay? It's when you come on up on the stage. It's when you come and you say, pastors, what can I do to help you? And you lift up their arms. You take responsibility off of them. How can I help you? You need me to set chairs out. You need me to do teas and coffees. You need me to clean the restrooms. You need me to go visit the sick in the middle of the night. You need me to go to the hospital. When you lift their arms up, when you help them do what God's called them to do, and by the way, not complain, not be demanding, be low maintenance. Amen. Low maintenance. Okay, not demanding, not complaining, and not whining, pastor, Why isn't God answering my prayers? I don't know, that whine, it just bothers me, you know. And anyway, lift the pastor's arms up.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Is that what you paid me to tell him, Johnny? Amen. Listen, guys, that's the key to your promotion. It's not be demanding, not be pushy, not, you know, how can I serve you, Pastor? What can I do? How can I help you? Listen, guys, I really feel like I have this word from God. This is the key to this church exploding and growing is when leaders come and they say, they don't just do, a few things. It's whatever you need me to do. I'm available. You can call me at 11 o'clock at night to go out and minister to people. And I mean, I had guys like that in my church. And I would call them. I said, do I have anybody who will go for me? Because I get calls. Pastors get calls. I know. Okay? And it's always inconvenient times. Do I have somebody who will go for me? See, that's what I want to know. Can you help me? How many of you would at least say, yes, Lord, I'm available to do that? Okay, then it's not just good enough for you to lift your hand. I want you on your own willingly go to your pastors and say, how can I serve you, Pastor? What can I do? Okay, obviously you can't do everything if you work, you know, you have family obligations, but you can do something. Amen? And be a blessing. But watch this. Look at Luke chapter 2. You know the story. Jesus had gone had gone with his family to Jerusalem, and his parents left thinking he was in the crowd. He was in the group. And they came back frantically trying to find him, and he was in the temple teaching. And verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said, "Why did you seek me? Didn't you know it must be about my father's business?" But they didn't understand the statement to which he spoke. And in verse 51, he told them, "Y'all go on home. I'm going to stay here because I've got to be about my father's business." Is that what Jesus did? Did Jesus do that? No. What did Jesus do? He went down to Nazareth. He came down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. Everybody say subject. That's submit, being submitted. And watch, look at the results of this. And Jesus, verse 52, increased. Does that sound like more? Does that sound like more? Increased in wisdom and stature and favor. And that word favor is the word Greek word charis, where we get the word grace. Jesus increased in grace by submitting, not by using the God card. "Oh, no, I can't do that, Pastor, because, you know, I've got a call to the nations. I can't do teas and coffees because I've got to go do this. I've got to do..." No, what we've got to do, guys, if you want more grace, how many of you want more grace? Okay, we find someone who's an authority. They're not perfect like you and me. No, you find someone in authority who's imperfect like you and me, and we serve them as unto the Lord. Yeah? And you serve them and you lift up their arms. And, you know, you don't... Okay, I understand how many of you have gone through any kind of abuse or, you know, you've been... You know, things didn't go well with some authority sometime in your life. Okay, but if that happens, guys, you don't punish the next leaders. You serve them. And Jesus said, if you've been struck on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. What does that mean? Does that mean Jesus tells you to, if you've been abused in one situation, that you let them abuse you again? No, he's not saying be a doormat for someone's abuse. He's saying live from the unwounded side. Don't play the victim. Don't show everybody your scars. Come in and serve and lift up people's arms and minister to people and stop acting like a victim and instead act like the victor that you really are. Amen? Amen. And these are things that cause us to draw on His grace. Finally, it says in James 4, 8, it says, draw near to God. So what is that about? Well, life isn't perfect and life isn't fair, is it? In fact, the kingdom isn't fair. Jesus had 70 disciples and He prayed all night and chose 12. Not fair, Jesus. Out of those 12, He only took 3 up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not fair, Jesus. He only took 3 to Jairus' house. Not fair, Jesus. What will cause us to draw more grace is when situations like that, when the pastors take someone to a conference and they don't take you. It's how we respond. If we continue to draw near to God and realize, okay, everything's not fair, but God is still good. And if I keep drawing near to God, then God's still going to promote me and I'm going to get grace. But if I allow myself to get offended, I forsake grace. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Won't you stand up with me? Father, how many of you want to position yourself for more grace? Father, we just position ourselves. We yield ourselves to You. And we determine, we want to walk in more revelation that You have for us. How many of you are going to receive more revelation this year and walk in that? And then, Lord, we're going to just, whatever You put in our heart, that revelation, a lot of times it's about assignments of what He has for us and what's our response going to be. Everybody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, I can do that. Say, I can go there. I can, whatever You put in my heart, we can do that, Lord. We can go there. I'm not checking how much money. I'm checking with what He says, and I agree with it. And then I'm going to serve. We're going to serve. We're going to be greater servants in our homes, on the job, in the church. We're going to be the kind of servants that can position ourselves for more grace. And then we're not going to allow offense or things that seem to be unfair, anything else, to stop us from receiving all that God has for us. So, Father, we just receive that grace in Jesus' name. We thank You for it, Father. We thank You for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, remind me of your name right here in the second row. Yes, sir.
Philip.
Philip, the Lord just wants me to tell You thank You. Thank You for the way, because what I preached today, especially that third point, you model it. And God wants me just to tell you publicly that His pleasure is over your life. And thank you for following Him. Thank you for serving Him. Thank you for doing it with a willing heart and a good attitude. And great rewards are yours, sir. Increased revelation is coming your way, sir. And great grace, more grace is yours. In Jesus' name. And I just see God expanding your borders and boundaries in terms of kingdom assignments, and your gifting's going to increase because God adds ability to faithfulness in Jesus' name. So I just bless Philip today, Father. Thank You for Your hand on his life. I just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless this church, Father, and I just speak the kingdom potential that You have for this church. Lord, this year, they're going to come into it. This year, Father, I just hear double. I just hear double. God's going to double this church this year in Jesus' name. Father, I just speak the double over this church in Jesus' name. In ministries and finances and and numbers and every way and kingdom potential in this reaching this city in Jesus' name. I just bless the pastors, Father, and thank you for this time in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you, Pastor.